What was that? Oh, hey, Celine.
Martha's here.
Who is that?
Martha?
Martha?
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Okay. So we're going to do the Prajna class, and we're actually going to use a Prajna, the date of which is April 5th, 2005. So if you guys have either Kala or some other software, you can put it in. Otherwise, I'll give the chart position as well. So it's April 5th, 2005.
April 5th, 2005. Oh, it's today.
Today?
Where do you enter it in at?
What's that?
Where do you enter the data?
Oh, just under your file, just like you would a birth chart.
Oh, okay. So today, for today's
time? Today at 3:22 p.m.
And just put in that your birth chart?
Yep. P.M.
So what would that be in
P.M.? Oh, 1522?
Thank you. Would you email or mail?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, doesn't matter. Okay, what's the location?
What's that?
What's the location?
You can put Yucca Valley, Y-U-C-C-A Valley, V-A-L-L-E-Y.
Subdivision, North Carolina?
No, California.
Oh, California.
Uh-huh.
No,
it doesn't matter, unless you're going to compare the Prajna chart to another Prajna chart and see if they should get married. Yep, yeah. For a Prajna chart, you just enter the chart as normal.
Why are we doing 322?
Because that's when the person asked me the question today.
Oh, can we do, is it 551 Leo?
Is what?
551 Leo?
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah, it's 5 degrees of Leo. Yeah, some people might be using a slightly different Ayanamsha. It won't make, don't worry for it.
What was the time again?
1522 p.m.
Okay, and it's today's date, and it's Yucca Valley, San Bernardino?
San Bernardino County,
uh-huh. Wow.
Okay, let me give the planetary positions. Does anyone actually not have a software? Okay, so I don't need to give the planetary positions. Good. Because everyone has it, right?
Yeah.
Even those of you who don't have Kala have it up? Okay.
So just make sure that we have the right...
Yeah, it's Leo rising.
Okay.
Got Leo rising.
Yeah. Okay. So, in astrology, there's actually lots of things you can do even before you look at the chart. And some of those things are really routinely used in Prajna. One of those is for those of you who have Kala, after you enter the chart, go to screens and go to the bottom of screens and you'll see the Prajna module down towards the bottom end. And where it says Prajna. You can click on that and that'll take you to the Prajna module. And what we've got on that page is all your normal birth chart stuff. You can pull a lot of extra things up. You can look at the Shadbala for the Prajna. Anything you look at in the birth chart, you can look at on this screen as well. But then it has several Prajna-specific things that you don't find other places. One thing it has is down on the bottom right-hand corner, it has a box that says Select Prajna and Select Aruda. So the first thing we can do is select the Aruda. And this person's Aruda was Scorpio. So what you can do, you can click on the box that says Scorpio or on the button that says Scorpio. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry, not from my thinking. The Aruda was Leo. I'm just dreaming, okay?
Leo?
Yep.
Okay, so we just
second half Leo. Okay. So now in the box, it says the Aruda Lagna, 552 Leo. Which happens to be the same as the birth Lagna this time. And the degrees of the Aruda Lagna are always going to be the same as the degrees of the Lagna. So if you, whatever sign you decide the Aruda is, the degrees is always going to be the same as the Lagna. Okay? There's another method that we didn't talk about of finding the Aruda Lagna that works really well. And that is you have the person pick a number between 1 and 108. And after they pick that number, that's the navamshas. There's 108 navamshas in the zodiac. So each sign has 9 navamshas. and there's 12 signs, so that gives us 108 navamshas. So then you have a person pick a number between 1 and 108, and then you just go to that navamsha, and that's the Aruta Lagna, and as well as the navamsha of the Aruta Lagna. So that's another way to find it. I usually don't use it that way, but some astrologers do it that way. It works as good as any other way. No, 1 through 9 would be in Aries. 9 through 18 would be in Taurus.
It starts at
Aries, yeah. Okay. 18 to 27 would be Gemini and so on.
Okay.
All right. So now we've got the Aruta set. And like I was saying, even before looking at the chart, there's a lot of things that Prajna specialists tend to look at that aren't, you know, even involved in the chart. And one of those is the Hora, which is the hour of that the question was asked. And that's shown in the Prajna module. It gives us the Hora of Jupiter. And then there's also something called a Chandra Kriya, a Chandra Vela, and a Chandra Avashta. Those are also on the same square there. Okay, now all those things, those four things are good things to look at even before we get involved in the Prajna. Even before we look at the chart, that should give us some insights. So the Hora, first of all, is determined by dividing the day into 24 parts, which means that there's 24 Horas in a day. So that's the same as an hour. The word hour comes from Hora. Alright? So, the planet that is the Hora Lord, meaning the Hora, whether it's Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, whatever the planet is, that planet has a lot to tell us about the very reason or the focus of why that person's asking the question. The Hora has a lot to say about the success possible at any moment. So the person's desire for success, you know, what they're hoping to succeed in, will be somehow indicated or pointed towards by the Hora Lord. All right? So the Hora Lord represents the hoped for success or the success that they're striving for. And it's ideal if the Hora Lord is a good planet in a good position, meaning it's a favorable planet, you know, Jupiter, Venus, Mercury, or nice moon, or it's an exalted planet, or a planet placed in its own house, or a planet influenced by nice planets, by benefics and exalted planets. The better the Hora Lord is, the higher level of success the person's going to reach. Okay? On the other hand, if the Hora Lord is completely beat up, then their hope for success is not going to be very well realized. So the Hora Lord is always important. And one of the nice things about it is that it's a really great thing to help us start getting an idea about what is the question about. What is this question focused on? Okay? In this case, the Hora Lord was Jupiter. So, and it rules the fifth and eighth house. So the fact that Jupiter rules the fifth house and the eighth house shows us that there's a possibility that some hope of this question, some hoped for goal of this question has something to do revolving around the fifth house and the eighth house and or the fifth house and eighth house modified by Jupiter. And as it turned out, one of the main reasons this person was asking this question was because of concerns or hopes for their children. So here we have Jupiter, which is the planet of children, but more importantly, Jupiter is the ruler of the fifth house, the house of children. So there's some hope for things with children. So always look at that Hora Lord to start getting a very rough idea about what they're asking for, what they're asking about, and also the possible chance of there being any success of them doing that. So, because again, the Hora Lord is going to always reveal the limit to the success. You know, how high the success can be. It'll have a big bearing on that.
Is the Hora the D2 chart?
It is the D2 chart, but the Hora Lord is different.
Yeah.
Okay, the Hora Lord is we divide the day into 24 parts, and each one of those parts is ruled by one of the planets. All right? So in this case, that 24 part of the day, which is an hour long that they asked the question, was ruled by Jupiter. Now, it'll be on the Prajna module. It'll say Hora of Jupiter.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And there's the old way of calculating the hora and the new way of calculating the hora. The old way is to calculate the hora from the prime meridian. That's the way Muhurta Chintamani does it. That's the way Varaha Mihira did it. And then there's the way that people do it, for some reason these days, a lot of people, and that is they calculate it from the local place. When they calculate it from the local place, it creates a lot of controversy, so there's actually two schools of thoughts about how to use horas, or how to calculate them, but if you calculate them from the Yamakoti, the ancient prime meridian, then there's no controversy, and that's also how the old masters used to do it. So I have it calculated from Yamakoti is the default in Kala. If you've got another software or if you're using Kala and it's not saying the Hora of Jupiter, you need to go to your calculation options and change it. And if you have another software besides Kala and it's showing you a different Hora, if you do have a Hora calculation, which is very likely, chances are you're going to have a different Hora showing at the time. Okay? But anyway, right now, the very fact that Jupiter rules the fifth house lets us see that there's some possibility a fifth house matter is something hoped for, and it also rules the eighth house, so it's also possible an eighth house matter is being asked for. We'll keep that in the back of our minds. But we want to start by looking at the Jupiter, the Hora Lord, and saying, well, how good is this Hora Lord? And if it's not in great shape, the hope for success cannot be that large. And if we look at Jupiter, well, it's with K2, it's aspected by Saturn, it's aspected by a debilitated Mercury, it's aspected by Rahu, all these with Rashi aspects, and it's also aspected by the Sun, the Lagna Lord in the 8th house. So the really only solid aspect would be from that non-damaging aspect from Venus, and even Venus's aspect comes from the 8th house, which makes it an unsteady sort of help. So Jupiter is really not well situated. So the very fact that Jupiter is with K2 aspected by Saturn without getting a lot of help lets us know right away the level of success to this person's question cannot be all that high. So that's how we would use the Hora. Okay? So let's continue on and see what the rest of this story tells us. But right away we would know, well, your hopes are probably not going to be realized too highly. Doesn't mean directly no. If the answer ends up being a yes, the hopes are not going to be, the yes is not going to lead to high hopes, to the high hopes they have. Okay? So their hopes for success will not be realized to a large degree based on this Hora Lord Jupiter being beat up. Okay? Then there's something called a Chandra Kriya. And Chandra Vela and Chandra Vashta. Those are listed below the Hora. And for those of you who don't have Kala, these things, the Chandra Avashta, the Chandra Velas, and the Chandra Kriyas, the calculation of those are given in the book called Fala Dipika, and it's widely used in Prajna. All the Prajna books, not all of them, but lots of the Prajna books refer to these three things. They don't tell you how to calculate them because they expect it to be well known how to calculate these. They're supposed to be things that everyone knows how to calculate. But the calculation for them are given in Fala Dipika in the chapter called The Various Kinds of Strength. What these are, based on the nakshatra that the moon is in, okay? That the moon is in? Okay. We divide the nakshatra into 12 parts, into 36 parts, and into 60 parts. Okay? When we divide the moon's nakshatra into 12 parts, we get the 12 Chandra Vashtas. So depending where the moon is in the nakshatra, what 1/12 portion the moon is in the nakshatra, that determines the Chandra Vashta. The Chandra Vela is determined by dividing the nakshatra into 36 parts and finding out which part the moon is in. So there's 36 Chandra Velas. And then the Chandra Kriyas are determined by dividing the moon into the nakshatra into 60 parts and seeing where the moon is. So there's 60 Chandra Kriyas. So these three things are basically a real minute look at where the moon is exactly in the nakshatra. And that gives us three things, the Chandra Kriya, the Chandra Veda, and the Chandra Avashta. So the avashta, the chandra avashta, avashta means the condition or the state. So this lets us see the condition or the state that the person is in or that the event is going to be in. And in this case, the avashta was fear. That's under which the question is being asked or under which the events will mature. You put 3:22 p.m. You might be using a different ayanamsha. That will change it. I'm using the Ardra Galactic Plane ayanamsha. If you're using the Lahiri ayanamsha, it'll change these. Okay, because these change real minutely within the nakshatra. So if you're using a different ayanamsha, you might get something different. Okay? Yeah. They can be, or the events are going to have some, the condition or the state of affairs leading to the events is going to have to do with fear. So right away we know that this question is either going to be asked in fear, or the condition of this question unfolding, or the event unfolding for the person is going to happen amongst fear. Now, fear can mean worry, apprehension, a lot of concerns. It doesn't not mean like they're scared of ghosts or monsters, okay? Worry, fear, stress, that's what the word sort of means, okay? So right away we know. And the reason, and in this person's life, the reason there is this sort of apprehension, I think is a better word than fear, is because of being concerned that they would be able to financially succeed in what they are asking the question about. Okay? Now the Chandra Kriya is the action. Kriya means action. So the Chandra Kriya means lets us see how the event, how the person's going to take the actions to make the event happen. Okay? It's the actions that bring the event to maturity or under which a person attempts to bring the event to conclusion. So in this case, the Chandra Kriya was timid in conflict. So that means this person may have a great desire for this thing. They may have a great desire for this thing to work out. But at the slightest conflict, they're going to sort of back down. Okay, so they're not going to be aggressive. They're not going to be gung-ho. If obstacles come up or there's some roadblocks, they're going to sort of back off. Okay, and let things take their own course. Then the Chandra Vela, what Velam is, Vela means the limit, or the end, or the boundary. So if we went to the end of your property, when we got to the fence, that would be the Vela of your property. Okay, so it represents the limit, the boundary, or the end of something. So when it comes to the Chandra Vela, this will give us some clue about what limits the event. Okay, so what puts the lid on the event? What limits it? What ends it? What restricts it? And so on. So in this case, the Chandra Vela is starting a journey. So the thing that's going to somehow make a difference in this event, in the sense of bringing this event to a conclusion or an end, is starting a journey. Okay? So right just from these three things, we could have deduced a lot already. We'd see the person's worried. They're not feeling really courageous and gung-ho to make happen what they want. And the thing that's going to end the event or limit the event or bring the event to its conclusion is starting a journey. Okay? Now, I haven't talked to you about what this person asked the question about yet because we'll get to that. But just keep all this in mind and you'll see how it kind of will come together pretty interesting, okay?
How many different ones are there?
Well, there's in Chandra Kriyas, there's 60. Chandra Avashtas, there's 12. And Chandra Velas, there's 36.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, well, this came up on my birth chart.
Yeah, you can also use these in your birth chart. And in fact, in Follow the Pika, he tells you shouldn't even judge the Prajna chart or the birth chart until you've studied these three things. So the first thing Manteswara would have done, the guy who wrote Follow the Pika, is he would have looked at your Chandra Kriya, Chandra Vela, and Chandra Vashta to get a foundation idea of who you are. And these things are sort, we might dive into these in the nakshatra class a little bit more, as in the context of the birth chart, because they are part of the nakshatra. It's a way of fine-tuning that nakshatra. So everyone who has their moon in Ardra nakshatra is not going to be the same. They're going to be all completely different. And what's going to make them all different is these three things, the Chandra Kriya, Chandra Vela, and Chandra Vashta. So you can have a person who has the fear of Vashta in Ardra nakshatra, or they can have a completely different Avashta, and then, of course, they're going to have a totally different mentality. So these three things are actually pretty important. And there's hundreds of little interesting things like this based on nakshatras that, you know, you don't see a whole lot of, and you see a lot more of these nakshatra things in the Prajna books and in the Muhurta books especially. That's where all the wealth of nakshatra information is. There's tons of it. But in the birth chart, it's for some reason we're staring at Rashis more and we're not using nakshatras as much as we could. But in those other branches, especially Muhurta, it's all about nakshatras almost. Okay, so...
How is this relevant, like, if you're looking at, if your question is, like, where did I leave my wallet?
What was that?
How is this relevant if, like, your Prajna question is, where did I leave my wallet?
Okay, then... Okay, let's say that... as an example, the Vashta was fear. They'd be really worried that they lost their wallet. They're worried that somebody's spending their credit card money or using their credit card or spending their money. So that would be relevant, right?
Yeah.
Chandra Vela, starting a journey, the thing that's going to bring it to an end is starting a journey. So let's say you were visiting, you know, Alaska and you lose your wallet and the Chandra Vela was starting the journey. You know, the thing that's going to end your concerns about your wallet is when you start your journey home. And after that, you know, there's no hope in hell of finding your thing. It's going to put the end to that event. So you have to use these a little creatively. But they tend to always be there in the Prajna. You'll see these three things come out. How's what?
What about the Kriya? How would that be relevant?
Timid and complex? Well, maybe this person has an idea that somebody stole it, but they don't want to go confront them. Or maybe they think they left it somewhere, but they're too embarrassed to go in there and ask if they left it there. So it could come in, it can happen a million ways. So as an astrologer, you have to be creative. You have to say, huh, you know, you just have to play with this. You know, gosh, you're fearful, you're really worried, and you're leaving town in a week, and your passport is in your wallet, and you're worried about what's going to happen. And you might be right on the nose. So you have to kind of use your imagination, which is really sort of your intuition, and just kind of work with these and see what you come to. So see what pops into your head. It's kind of like reading tarot cards.
But how am I supposed to change this from the avastha that I have, the temple of royal temple?
Okay, go to the options, think ayanamsha, and then choose the top one at top.
The Ardra
galactic plane, uh-huh. For everything.
So why did mine default to the other one?
Because we default call it to Lahiri Ayanamsha, which is the most popular Ayanamsha.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, people are going to call me and say, my computer's wrong, and I have to talk to them.
Then why do we use this one instead of the other one?
Because I think this one's more accurate. In fact, Lahiri, the guy who invented Lahiri Ayanamsha, or not invented it, popularized it,
uh-huh.
30 years after Lahiri became the most widely accepted Ayanamsha. He said if he could do it all over again, he would add about 30 minutes to Lahiri Ayanamsha. And the Ardra Galactic Plane, we add 26 and a half minutes to Lahiri Ayanamsha. So Lahiri would actually be much more happy with this Ayanamsha than the one labeled after himself. Okay.
Can you just quickly tell me the data that you're using for this? I just like this at the beginning.
Tell you what?
The data that you're using for this question.
The what? I'm sorry.
The data that you put. Oh,
15:22 p.m. today.
Sorry, say again?
15:22 today.
In L.A. or where?
In Yucca Valley.
Okay, 15:22.
Okay, thanks. Okay. All right, so already from those four things, we would have got some good background information. We don't really know where it's going yet, but we'd want to sort of arm ourselves with those four things, the Hora and those Kriya, Velas, and Avashta, to give us an idea to add some color to the prajna reading as we go into it. And you really see how this stuff really adds a lot of juice to your reading versus not using it. Okay? So the first thing that's our job to do after we selected that Aruda Lagna is we want to find out what they're asking about. Okay? Because in the old days, you know, you didn't go ask an astrologer your question. We're really lucky these days. People won't even shut up long enough before they want to tell us their question. But in the old days, you know, if the astrologer had asked the question, he obviously wasn't going to be able to find out the answer. Okay? I've heard about one astrologer that this guy I know would go see them where you would write on a piece of paper your question and you put it on this altar. And then 10 minutes later, the guy would come out and give you the answer without having even opened your note. So the minute your note hit the altar, he cast a chart for that moment, figured out what you were asking the question about, and then answered the question without even talking to you. So you can, if you went to an astrologer and he said, "Hi, you're here to ask about this," you would go, "Whoa," you'd feel pretty confident with whatever answer he gave you after that, wouldn't he? You know?
Yeah.
You go, "Oh, okay, well, it sounds like you're right on the nose." These days, we're not forced to do that. And so it's a real tricky business to try to guess the question. The Prajna books have certain rules, which are all programmed in the Kala for helping us guess the question. And I've always felt that the rules that the old books have given were not really sufficient to get our job done. There's just not a lot of information. It's just a few sutras. I recently acquired a new book, which is older than all the other Prajna books available, by about 500 years older than the next oldest thing. The oldest one is Shat Panchasika, that one I emailed you guys a few weeks ago. That's probably the oldest one besides this one. And this other one is a huge natal astrology book that happens to have a half a dozen big chapters on Prajna that deal specifically with trying to figure out what the person's asking the question about. And even gives techniques for figuring out the name about the thing that they're asking the question about. So the chart itself, if they're asking about a car, should say car, or Honda, or Toyota. You know? So, I haven't really worked with all those techniques in that new book, and I haven't had a chance to get them, you know, haven't had a chance to work with them, but I've been happy to find them. Because I've always felt that what was in the other text was not good enough for somebody to drop a piece of paper on an altar and get the answer. So I've always felt there was a lot of stuff about guessing the question that wasn't there. But let's see. But in that, I'll be adding those to Kali here soon, but we'll go over what these old books have and see how that works, okay? So to get that, we click on the Select Prajna button, and there a table pops up that gives us a lot of ideas about or gives us options about what the question is. And one of the things on that menu is nature of query. They're all alphabetical order, so it's by the end. Nature of query. That means this is the idea of what they're asking about. And if we click on that, it'll pull up everything from the Prajna books written in the last 1500 years that helps us guess what the question is about. And by studying that, we should get a rough idea about what it is that they're asking about. Okay? The first thing we need to do is we need to find out if they're asking about a dhatu, which is a mineral object, meaning an inanimate object, a mula, which is a root or a vegetable or a plant object, or a jiva, which is some living object, whether a mouse, a rabbit, or a human being, some living object. Okay? And the technique for this is, there's several techniques for figuring out if it's a dhatu, mula, or a jiva, to begin narrowing it down that way. That's the first step. And Kala will just pull the ones that are pertinent to the chart out of all the combinations and things that the textbooks give. So the ones that it pulled, it said, in an odd Rashi, the nine Navamshas in their order are Dhatu, Mula, and Jiva. Okay, so Leo's an odd Rashi, and the nine Navamshas are Dhatu, Mula, and Jiva. So the Lagna in Leo is the second Navamsha of Leo. The first Navamsha is from 0 Leo to 320 Leo. The second Navamsha is from 320 Leo to 640 Leo. So, that lets us see that the second Navamsha is Mula. And it says that in Kala. It says Mula, things with roots and vegetation. So that means there's a possibility that the question is about a Mula. Okay? Then the second question is, or the second thing that comes up, if the Moon, Jupiter, and Venus are strong, the query relates to Jivas. Well, in this case, the only planet in an angle, which always gives strength, is the Moon. And then the only exalted planet is Venus. So here it lets us get an idea that, well, it also looks like it could be about Jivas. So, and then it says, if the Moon, Jupiter, and Venus are strong in an angle, especially in the Lagna, the query will bear on a Jiva. Well, since the only planet in an angle is the Moon, there's a good question this is about a Jiva, which means a living being, whether a person or an animal. And then it says, if Aries, Leo, or Scorpio rises, aspected by Mars or the Sun, it relates to Dhatus. Well, we got Leo rising, Rashi aspected by Mars, Dhatu. Yep. Yeah?
Thing.
Yep.
But for some reason, I can't open it. Every time I open it, it shuts down my program.
Hmm.
I can open all the other ones, like marriage. Probably having it shut down every time I try to
zoom.
Yeah.
There might be a corruption in that file that's causing it to crash.
Okay.
Oh, so you'll just have to listen. Yeah, I'll have to. I'll just email everyone the copy I've got, which obviously is good, but sometimes there might have been some weird thing in the file which screwed up the encryption, I don't know.
But everything you're reading is, that's where you're reading.
That's what it's pulling, yep.
Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure there wasn't a handout I had missed or something.
Okay, so on this chart, it's about a Mula, it's about a Dhatu, and it's about a Jiva equally. Usually, it's going to point to one of those things more than the other. But this one points to all of these things. Okay? So, we'll keep in the back of our mind that the question seems to be relating to Jivas, Dhatus, and Mulas, to vegetation, to living beings, and to inanimate objects, Dhatus, as well. So, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
If the Aruda Rashi is in the first, fourth, seventh, or tenth from the Lagna, the query is about the present. So here, the Aruda is in Leo, the Lagna, which means what they're asking about, am I going to do this right now? Not, am I going to do this in 6 months? So whatever they're asking about, it's, they're asking about it at this moment. Am I going to do this now? Okay? And that's an important thing. So that the question is bearing on something they hope to do right away. Then nature of the query. If Jupiter's in the second, then it is about some business. Well, so we'll keep that in our mind. We'll just go through this whole file, and then we will see if we can get a rough idea of what the question about is about, okay?
So this is just under, I mean, this type of being able to guess the question without getting the question is all under digital query?
Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes this you'll find this easier than other times, and I'll show you a couple tricks that I sort of use to help with it, okay? And I'll have a lot more information in this file once I get that stuff sorted out from that new 2,000-year-old book I have, which has, like I said, 10 times more stuff on this subject than any other text I've come across.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So, and then the next section says age and nature of a person if the query is about a person. Well, it could be about a person, because of the fact that we did get Jivas, which are living beings, right? So the living being, how old is the living being, we could figure out. If the Lagna is occupied or aspected by Venus or Mars, it will be a young woman or young man, depending on the query relates to a female or a male. Well, the truth is, with Mars aspecting the Lagna, part of the query did surround a young person. Like I said, and I said earlier about a child. So we had the fifth house, which is children, related because the Hoar Lord rules the fifth house. And then we get Mars, which is aspecting the Lagna, which indicates it would be a young person it would be asked about. So this would make us get an idea that this question is actually about a dependent child. Okay? Now, the Moon or Mercury, I'm just reading on down here, the Moon or Mercury in the 7th indicates that the thought is about a courtesan. Okay, so the Moon in the 7th is thought might be about a courtesan. Huh. If it's about a living being. Let's see what else. From the degree of the Moon, the age of the woman under query is to be judged. So that doesn't seem to be real pertinent. Sometimes you'll see these really sort of outdated things. I don't know how to fit that into this person's question at all. Okay? But anyway, so what we've got so far from the Hoar Lord, if we were really lucky, seeing it rules the 5th house, as well as being the Karaka for children, and the fact that Mars aspects the Lagna, we can maybe get an idea that somehow this question pertains to the person's children. And it did revolve around that somewhat. But it also, this question revolved around Dhatu, Mulas, and Jivas altogether. And what I always like to do after looking at this is always see what planet is in or aspecting the Lagna. That planet is always going to somehow be pertinent, okay? And in this case, that planet aspecting the Lagna, there's only one, it's Mars. Okay? And with a Rashi aspect. And then also you want to see the house that the Lagna Lord is in or aspecting. Those two things will help you get an idea as well. And Mars is obviously the strongest of those planets. And, you know, Mars is stronger than the Sun. So this could give us a strong idea that the question is about Mars. And Mars rules the 4th house and the 9th house. And one of the things the 4th house happens to rule is residence or property, right? So the person's question revolved around a hopeful move in order to live in a place that they would feel would be better for their children.
Wow.
Okay? So always look at the planet interaspecting the Lagna.
Wow.
And if there's no planet interaspect, or, and also look at the house that the Lagna Lord is interaspecting. Those two things will give you some strong ideas. Here we've got the Lagna Lord's son aspects the 5th house, Jupiter's the Hoar Lord, and then Mars represents the 4th house. So you can see how this question could have to do with property and moving. Now, but also there was in the equal indications for Dhatu, Mulas, and Jivas. Well, the Jiva part is obviously the child. The Mula, the Dhatu part is obviously the new residence that they hope to acquire. And the Jiva, the Mula part, the roots and vegetables, well, the other reason they want to move because this person actually hopes to leave the desert. Okay, they want more vegetables. So it actually did somehow relate to all three of those, Dhatu, Mula, and Jiva things. In most project charts, you'll see more things come up for Dhatus and more things come up for Jivas, in which case, just take the dominant one. It's not often that you get a chart where all three of them are about that. And then right away, we know that they hope, they're asking about if they can do this right now. Like, right now. Okay? Because of the fact that they have got, the Rudra Rashi was in the 1st house. So if we could have come up with that, if we could have come up, say, gosh, are you asking about a young person, maybe your child, and is this revolving around your residence? If you could have just said that much, which would have been really hard, but if you could do that, you can imagine how much you would have impressed them, right? Okay? Now let's say the planet aspect in the Lagna would have indicated an old person they are asking about. Okay, let's say it was an old person. Well, if it was an old person and Mars, the 4th Lord, was aspecting and the 9th Lord, then we could assume they are asking about their parents. Wanted their mother or father, right?
Yeah.
And then Jupiter would have ruled the 8th house, which is the house of death and inheritance. So if an old person had been indicated, maybe we would have asked about, they would have been asking about inheritance. But as it was a young person. So you try to have to use all this information together, read through it, see what pops into your head, and as you get better, better things will pop into your head. Okay? So that's even before we start talking about this person. And so we deducted the question as if they gave us a chance to actually study the chart before they blurted out their question, you know? They really don't like to wait while you're trying to look like a genius in front of them. They just want to ask the question and get over with. Okay. But if you have the luxury of time, it's always a good test to sort of work with it a little bit and see what you come up with. Okay, so, and now we know the thing that's going to possibly limit or bring this whole desire to an end is starting a journey. So we might be able to just ask, answer the prediction and say, look, you'll know about your residence after you begin your next journey. And you could sound really mysterious, like the Oracle of Delphi or something. And you'll find out that you're probably going to be right because of that Chandravela. That's what's going to determine this. That's what's going to limit this move, this new residence, is them starting a journey.
Well, how do you know that starting a journey isn't the actual move, like evidence of the fact that they will end up moving?
Because a journey means, journey means you go somewhere, you usually return. It's not necessarily a move. I mean, it could be. But let's keep looking, okay? And you'll see kind of why I lean that way. So now we've got a basic idea about the question, and we've deduced their question. They're really willing to listen to anything now. So now we say, oh, yeah, by the way, I charge $300 an hour. And then you keep reading the price chart, okay?
And this will take 10 hours.
Okay. So, that's one thing. Now, one of the fun things from Prajna, sure, that's their question, but there may be other important things about their life. And in the previous class we did, in the compatibility class, we spent a lot of time analyzing the chart to see if they would, if it was a yes or a no. And all those yes or no things are programmed in the kala under the, in the top button when you pull up the select Prajna, where it says success or failure. So you can click on that, and it'll give you the success or failure things to see if it's going to happen. So let's just go to these real quickly, and then we'll do some of the real fun things. Because when somebody asks you a question, you may be able to tell them things way above and beyond what they're asking that are very important to their lives. And that's really one of the beauties of Prajna. It's not limited to their question. So I'll show you how to read their whole life from that moment, not just about their house and if they're going to get their kids to the school they want to get them to, but, well, gosh, you are, but your grandpa's going to die, you know, something like that. Who knows what we're going to see? Let's find out. I haven't looked at this chart yet. I'm just starting right now, okay? All right. So general principles for success. The Lagnas and the Shirshadasha Rashi, the result of the query will be auspicious. So a Shirshadaya Rashi rises by its head. It makes things come to a conclusion with less stress and more ease and more expediency. Now, the Navamsha Lagna, it says, is a Prishtadaya Rashi, a Rashi that rises with its butt first or its back first. It says success is not to be predicted. So that kind of creates more difficulties and stresses. So we're 50-50. So based on that, we'd say, well, this won't be hard, but it won't be easy. That's where we are so far. If the Lagna falls in the Rashi of a malefic planet, the result of the query will be inauspicious. So again, well, it looks like it's going to be a little hard. And all these things, inauspicious things, Prishtadaya, Shirshadaya, look at those as if there's going to be hardship attached. Don't look at that as being a definitive no or a no. It just means there'll be stress and hardship. Prishtadaya Rashis and malefic Rashis, they make life hard. The Shirshadaya Rashis make life easier, as do the Rashis of benefit. Okay, then it says, when the Navamsha Lagna is of a benefic, success may be predicted. So the Navamsha Lagna is of Mercury. However, Mercury, though a benefic, is debilitated in this chart and also in the eighth house. So Mercury cannot make the, you know, make things too successful.
Then I don't have Mercury in the Navamsha Lagna.
You don't have Virgo Lagna? In the Navamsha? Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
We have Taurus.
Okay, sorry, I had the wrong chart in my Navamsha position.
Okay.
I had the Bamsa chart. Okay, you're right, it's Taurus. So, good, Venus is exalted, but it's in the eighth house, right?
Okay.
So, exalt in Navamsha Lagna can mean success. And the Navamsha Lagna is very important in Prajna and Muhurta because the Navamsha Lagna has a large bearing on the degree of success. So between the Hora Lord and the Navamsha Lagna Lord, that can help you see the level of fulfillment. The Jupiter, the Hora Lord really represents the level of accomplishment. The Navamsha Lagna represents the level of fulfillment. So you can accomplish a lot and have little fulfillment, or you could accomplish little and have lots of fulfillment. It depends on everything. Ideally, you want to accomplish a lot and have a lot of fulfillment. But the Navamsha Lagna is really important to see the level of fulfillment of the event. So the fact that that is Venus and it's exalted shows a potential great level of fulfillment in the Rashi chart. Yep. And in the Navamsha chart, Venus is with the moon, which is Vargatama. Okay? Which always helps in Muhurta or Prajna, the Lagna or the moon, Vargatama, always is going to help things have the best possible conclusion. It's always a good thing if the Lagna or moon is Vargatama. Okay? So, that Venus being there, it says, well, that shows us right away that there's going to be a high level of fulfillment. And then Jupiter is aspecting the Venus and the Navamsha as well. So we know there's going to be a high level of fulfillment. However, Venus is in the 8th house or in the Rashi chart, and the 8th house is always that house of change and crisis and the unexpected, which tells us right away you're going to have a happy level of accomplishment, but not the way you expect. There's going to be a lot of unexpected things that happen first, and then this will happen. And it's quite interesting because this person was predicted by another reader, by a tarot reader, that they would not find a new place to live until they went on a trip.
Wow.
Wow. And here we get correlation. And that question, they talked to that reader, I think they said 3 or 4 months ago or something, so a few months ago. So we see two readers now who are saying, journey is going to somehow have importance on this. And then we get the 8th house, the house of change involved, and this tarot reader predicted that they would journey because of somebody's death. And of course, the 8th house is the house of death, right? So this chart is supporting that. So there is going to be a change, there is going to be a journey, and then after that, there's going to be a high level of fulfillment with their residence. Okay? So, let's see what else we're getting here. What were we...
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Can we discuss the Shirashadaya, the Rishadaya, the... You talked about it in this conversation?
Can I what?
Did you talk about it in class already?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll listen.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So, always look at that Navamsha Lagna and that Navamsha Lagna Lord. Those are very important planets. It's best if the Navamsha Lagna Lord is in an angle or the 11th house in the Rashi chart. That's the best place for it. Okay? Now it says, count from the Rashi occupied by the Sun to the Lagna. If the number is even, the results are unfavorable. Well, from the Sun to the Lagna is 6 Rashis, an even number, it's unfavorable. So that gives us a hint that, well, probably the place that you're asking about right now is not going to happen. That's where we're getting at so far, especially when we see that 8th house, Navamsha Lagna Lord we talked about. Then it says, the benefit-giving planets are the lords of the Lagna and the 11th. It should be noted that a combination of the lords of the Lagna and the 11th is always beneficial and confer good results. The beneficial capacity of the lords of the Lagna and 11th become intensified if they have the aspect of the moon. While the Lagna and the 11th lords are together, they're conjunct. So right away that tells us there's room for success for them to gain the desired thing. Because the 11th house is the house of gain. However, it's in the 8th house, so we've got a lot of change. So right from that, my initial prediction from seeing that Sun in the 11th house, especially being the Lagna Lord in conjunct with the 11th house, that you're going to get what you want, but you're not going to get the one that you want right now. Because the 8th house always means a change. So it's not the place you want now, it's not the neighborhood you want now, it's another neighborhood, that type of thing. It always indicates a change. But in this case, with the Sun and being with the 11th Lord, it indicates a change that's going to happen. that they're going to be happy with once the change is made. They're going to feel like they gained something, but it's not the one they're expecting or hoping for now. So that's pretty easily determined from this chart. So the immediate answer to this question so far would be no. But the long-term answer is you're going to get what you want, but it's not going to be the one you think you want now. Okay? After you go on that journey. Okay. Then it says, if plans and exaltation aspect Lagna, Aruda, or Chitira, Rashi, there'll be a success in all attempts and gains of territory and wife. Alright, so sometimes these books like to be colorful, okay? Alright, so in this case, an exalted Mars aspect the Lagna. So that lets us see that, okay, it's exalted, you should get it. It's the fourth lord, they should find a nice place that they like. However, it's in the sixth house, and the sixth house is the house of delays. But it's not going to happen for a while. Okay, it's not going to happen now. So, we see changes and delays, right? Okay, here's another quick technique. There's something called Adhamukha and other Rashis, okay? Adhamukhas are the Rashis that are rising, or that are facing up. Urdhvamukha are facing down, and the Triangamukha Rashis are facing sideways. Okay? So, these Rashis, what they are explained in the Kala, the Adhamukha Rashis are the... face down Rashi. What?
Adhamukha is down, Urdhvamukha is up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the Adhamukha Rashis are the ones, are the Rashis that the sun is in and its trines. So those are face down. Okay? Why are they that way? Because the sun is there. They're bowing down. Then the Rashis previous to the sun and those trines are the Urdhvamukhas, and those are the most favorable ones. So that's the 12th house, the 9th house, the 3rd house, and the 6th, oh, I'm sorry, yeah, it's not that. Those are the, okay, from this chart, let's do it on this chart. The Urdhvamukha signs would be the Cancer, Pisces, and Scorpio. And the ones before that, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I'm reading this wrong. Okay. Pisces, Gemini, Virgo, and Pisces and Sagittarius are going to be the Adhamukhas, which are not favorable. Okay? The Urdhvamukhas are favorable, and that's going to be the 3rd, 6th, 9th, and 12th from the sun, as I was saying in the beginning. So in this case, Leo is the 6th from the sun, and it is upward facing Rashi. So that lets us see there's room for success. Okay, so again, there's some room for success. They're the good ones.
Okay, it doesn't really say anything here about positive or negative.
No, but in the after that it says if an Urdhvamukha Rashi rises, all attempts will be successful.
Yeah, is this in the success section of the process?
Success or failure.
Oh, okay.
So pull that up.
Okay. So just the Urdhvamukhas are successful.
They're the best, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So the Adhamukha is always the sign the sun is in or the trine from the sun?
I'm sorry, it's the sun. The Adhamukha is the Rashi the sun is in and its angles. And those are face down. Those are prostrating Rashis. They have to prostrate in front of the sun.
Okay.
Okay? And the Rashis the sun has just passed through and its angles are the face up Rashis, which are no longer prostrating but have received the blessings of the king. You know, the king has given them something. Okay. And the other ones are waiting for the king to get there. They're looking sideways. Where is that king? Make sure you bow when the minute you see him, okay?
I love that.
All right. Okay. So, there's a little hint of good there. But what we see here, we see some good things for success, but with that 8th house and 6th house thing, we don't see success now. And remember, we learned that because the Aruda Lagna was in the Lagna, so this person was asking about right now. And so when they ask, am I going to do this right now? And we see delays and eighth house changes in their charts, right now the answer is definitely no. And when we see some other good things, it means later on you will. And we've seen some other good things, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going.
So, Ernst, yep. Forgive me.
Uh-huh.
Those that are looking down, those make things easier or harder?
No, those are negative rashis.
Oh, okay.
Because they're cowering down before the sun.
Because they're
prostrate.
Okay.
They're getting humbled.
Interesting.
Okay, and they're kind of like, just as if the planet doesn't, is not good when it's conjunct the sun.
Right.
So it's that same idea.
Okay.
Okay. In fact, planets that are conjunct the sun are considered to be prone.
So, the houses where, that are face up, have just received benefit and blessing, so they're good?
Yep.
And then the sideways ones are not?
They're medium.
Okay.
They're medium.
They're called dry yang.
Yeah, they're looking sideways.
Dry yang.
They're looking left and right and stuff.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now, after that, we can get the degree of results when results are indicated. Results are indicated, but after delays and changes. And then it says, when a benefic aspects the Lord of the Lagna, the benefic effect is one half. Well, Jupiter aspects the Lagna Lord, and it's one half. But then the Lagna Lord's with two other benefics. So there'll be some good success when they have it. But again, Rahu there and Saturn aspecting, those are the two delaying planets, the planets that frustrate us for a while. So there's going to be plenty of frustration for this person to experience before they get the good stuff of Jupiter and Venus and Mercury, okay? Now, after that, after we've guessed the question, and we know it bears largely on their children and their residents, we want to go to those areas in this next bottom part of this section. So we want to go to fourth house questions, indications for success. Okay, because there's basic rules that grant success in prajna. We went over those in the compatibility class just as a quick recap of the idea. For instance, the Lagna Lord in the house and the house Lord in the Lagna was a big yes, right?
Yeah.
And the Lagna Lord aspecting the house and the Lord of the house in the Lagna was a big yes. You know, any of those things that related the Lagna to the house was always a big yes. The Lagna Lord and the house Lord conjunct, or the Lagna Lord and the house Lord aspecting each other, those were always big yeses. So what this next section does for each house is searches all the possible big yeses. And for the houses that there is a big yes, it shows. So you just go to the house and see if there's a yes or not. Under fourth house questions, indication for success, it says, the Lord of the house concerned aspecting the Lagna Lord of the moon indicates success. So the fourth Lord Mars aspecting the Lagna, that lets us see, yes, you're going to get a house, you're going to move, but Mars is aspecting from the sixth house, so it's going to be after a long delay.
Yeah.
Okay?
Now, is the third and the fourth the same moon?
No, there's nothing for third house questions. There's nothing under it, yeah? Then there's a lot of fifth house questions indication for success. And since the question did bear on children, let's see if that is. So the question relevant to children was basically getting their children into a school that was going to be productive for the kid. Okay? If the Lagna Lord and the Lord of the house to which the query relates aspects the house concerned, there will be success in the proposed venture.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the Lord of the house aspects the house.
The Jupiter aspects the fifth, and the Lagna Lord aspects the fifth, right? So they both aspect it. That's great.
Right.
Good. Then, if the Lagna Lord and the Lord of the house aspect each other,
yeah,
they do.
Yeah.
If the Lord of the house, meaning Jupiter and the Sun, Rashis aspect each other, if the Lord of the house concerned occupying a Rashi other than the Lagna is aspecting the Lagna Lord, there'll be delayed success. If the Moon aspects, the success will come more easily and quickly. So it says yes, but not really quick. And in neither of these combinations did the moon aspect, right?
Right.
The moon in prajna always makes things happen right away. When the moon's involved in prajna, it means things are already pretty much going that direction. Then you just slap them, ask them why they're asking the question already, because they know it's already going that way. So you always have, it's nice to have the moon there. That gives quick results. We don't have the moon, though. The lord of the house concerned aspect in the lagna lord, or the moon indicates success. So again, the lord of the house, Mars, aspects the lagna. Yeah, delayed success.
Okay.
So the answer is yes, you're going to move. You're not going to move now. You're going to move later after several changes, or one big change at least. And what's going to bring this whole thing of you trying to find a place to live to an end, the Vela, is starting a journey. So I would tell her that, yeah, you need to, you know, once you start a journey, things will get clear. Okay? And it's going to be some time. So now our job, there could be several things to do now. The next natural thing to do, because we really haven't answered their complete question, is when are you going to move, right? The big when? We have to try to time the event now. Okay? That's always the fun part in Prajna. So.
Yeah, because that would be the next thing they would ask, too. You keep saying, like, it's going to be a while.
Yeah. So now our job is to time the event. Okay? Now, if you go to the Select Prajna button again, there's actually a timing menu there. And it gives all the formulas from the classical books for trying to time an event. And there is, how many formulas do I got here?
Wow.
I've got 10 principles. And these are all things you have to work out yourself. The computer's not smart enough to tell you the day the event's going to happen. But these are the techniques that you need to use to predict the event.
I believe in you.
Okay, we'll play around with some of those, but before we do that, let's look at some of the simple possible ways. Let's look for Ithasala Yogas, applying aspects between the Lagna Lord, the Sun, and the other planets, okay? The Sun is applying to Saturn, and that is it. The Sun is only applying to Saturn, if I'm not mistaken. Venus is separating, and Mercury is retrograde, or it would be applying. Yeah, so the Sun is applying to Saturn. Saturn's at 27 degrees 6 minutes. The Sun's at 22 degrees and 44 minutes. So that gives us, 4 degrees and 20 minutes, roughly 4.5 degrees between the Sun and Saturn. And the Lagna is an odd sign, right? So that would let us see that in 4.5 months, I'm sorry, the Lagna is a fixed sign, and fixed signs indicate months. So that lets us see that in 4.5 months, something significant based on their residence and such could happen. So 4.5 months from April 5th takes us to August 20th, right?
Now, is that stuff written anywhere, the whole fixed and immovable and mutable?
I don't know. It might be in those Prajna rules. We'll have to look, okay?
Okay.
I always just use that one. It's in my head, so I don't even know if it's there.
Are you just doing the infrasolid thingy now because you guys have talked about that before? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Not here.
It'll be in there too. I think it's in the timing, yeah. I think I put that in somewhere. But Ithasala Yoga is an applying aspect. And the aspects that we use are to the, 60 degrees, 90 degrees, 180 degrees aspects, 120 degree aspects, and conjunctions. And anytime they're within an orb of influence, we want to, check those things. And the way you can do it on the call, on the module, is you can go to, you can right click on your screen somewhere and pull up the Tajika aspects under the tables. And it'll show you all the Tajika aspects in the chart, which are all these Prajna type aspects that are good for timing things, that are based on 60 degree aspects, 90 degree aspects, 120 degree aspects, 180 degree aspects, and conjunctions. And these are all degree-based aspects, not sign-based, simply degree-based aspects. And that's the aspects that a lot of Prajna people use really heavily. So, did everyone get that chart up?
Yes.
Okay, there's a bunch of weird, there's a bunch of weird symbols. Let's look at what the sun is aspecting, okay? The sun, and the aspects are always both ways. Okay, so you go to the sun and go down. Below the sun, we see a little six-pointed kind of star thing, and by Mars. That's a sextile. That's a symbol for a sextile or 60-degree aspect. These are the same aspects Western astrologers use. They use these in India, too. Then, underneath, 60 degrees.
So 60?
Yep.
Okay.
Then after that, there's Jupiter with a barbell kind of thing. That means that's an opposition symbol. Okay, then under Jupiter, Venus has got a ball with a stick sticking out of it. That's a conjunction symbol. The only applying one is Saturn. And Saturn is a square. It can sometimes, uh-huh. Okay. The sun to Saturn is a square aspect shown by the square, which is 90 degrees. And okay. The sun is at 22 degrees, right? And Saturn's at 27 degrees? So, as the days go by, the sun is going to get closer and closer to being exactly at the same degree of Saturn, right? Because the sun is faster moving than Saturn. So that means the sun is applying to Saturn. Because Venus is moving faster than the sun. Right? Venus moves faster than the sun? Yeah, always, yep. Yeah. Unless it's retrograde. So Venus is going to be moving further and further away from the sun.
So the way to know that, because I'm a question, because I have to always think about these things, if Venus is in a sign a shorter amount of time than the sun, Venus is only in a sign less than a month, but the sun is in a sign less.
Yeah.
So that's how you think about that.
Okay, thanks. So Venus is separating from the sun. It's past the sun, it had its conjunction a few days ago, and now it's moving onward. Okay, now Mercury is retrograde, so it's also going further and further away from the sun every day. Okay, so that's how you use it, based on the slowest and fastest planet. So the future aspects, the future events are going to be timed with the applying aspects. The things that happen in the past are going to be based on the separating aspects. So with the sun applying to Saturn, it indicates 4.5 months. Now, lots of times an aspect involving with Saturn can add a year to that. But in this case, I don't think it's going to because of the fact that Saturn's in the 11th house. And the 11th house is always in Prajna, a house of getting, a house of happening, and a house of expediency. So I don't think that Saturn is going to delay things by a year and a half.
Interesting.
By another year. Since it's the planet applying to Saturn. So my guess is, towards the end of August, there'll be a journey that has some significance not a journey per se, but some event that has significance to them finding a place.
So Earth?
Uh-huh.
Isn't Venus applying to Saturn too?
Venus is, but we're looking at things applying to the Lagna Lord.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Just 90 degrees. Okay, a 90 degree aspect, meaning the square aspects, and also the conjunctions and oppositions, those are the unfriendly Tajika aspects, which means they're going to be the stressful Tajika aspects. Okay? So if we look at it, and we see that the sun is in the eighth house, the Lord, the house of death, and Saturn is the Lord of death, and we see all these other houses in the house of death, and Jupiter, the eighth Lord, aspecting all these planets too, and aspecting Saturn, the Karaka of death, there's a very good chance that somebody does actually pass away, that causes the travel. So a journey due to a funeral is likely indicated here.
Could also be problems with their partner because it's...
Because it's the seventh house?
Because it's the love lord, the seventh lord, and a bad relationship.
It could be, but I would look at the house positions first. So in Tajika aspects, I always tend to look at the houses they're in first.
Okay.
Okay, the pyramid is the trine, 120 degrees.
Okay.
Good question. So the symbols are pretty self-explanatory, you know, once you get used to them a little bit. Okay, so there's a good possibility of a travel, or not necessarily travel, but an event in 4.5 months that somehow has bearing on their residence that's caused by some painful event because it's an unfriendly aspect.
And are you always look at the Lagna for the...
Always look at the Lagna Lord to see what aspect it's making, because that's the things that they're going to encounter.
You say it's months because it's a fixed Lagna, right?
Fixed Lagna.
And then what movable was days? Is that what movable is?
Movable is days.
Okay, and then mutable is weeks?
Yep.
Okay.
And here's another important thing. The square aspects, the 90 degree aspects shown by the squares in the Tajika aspect box, those are the secretly unfriendly aspects. Which means those are the unexpected things. They're secret. This is something a difficult or stressful something that's unexpected.
Which are the cakes left?
The squares.
Okay.
The conjunctions and oppositions are what are called openly unfriendly aspects, which means that we're very well aware of that. So, if we, you know, telling this person that there's a possibility of them having to attend a funeral in 4.5 months is inconceivable to them right now.
Wow.
They cannot even foresee anyone they know dying. It makes no sense to them whatsoever. It's secret. It's a secretly difficulty they're going to have to. If Saturn had been conjunct the Sun or opposite the Sun, they would have said, oh yeah, so-and-so is on their deathbed. I'm not surprised to hear that. You know, it would have been something they were knowing about, but it's a secret that they won't be made aware of until the day it happens. Okay? All right. Then, okay, so that looks good. Or, you know, as far as analyzation goes. So, it does look like something significant is going to happen in 4.5 months. Now, that significant thing does not have to be the time when they're going to finally settle down the way they want to in a convenient place for them. But it could have bearing on that due to the fact that Saturn is the lord of the fourth lord, right? The fourth lord, Mars, is in Capricorn. So Saturn being the lord of Capricorn in an aspect to the Sun would show that the event in 4.5 months is going to have a bearing on their home, their fourth house, what they asked about. Okay? So that gives us an idea that 4.5 months is going to be significant and can bring about the events that, you know, the events of change that are going to be brought about for in order for them to move. Okay? What? Possibly, it's a possibility due to the fact that Mars is, Saturn rules the Mars, and Saturn is in the house again, the 11th house, aspected by Jupiter, the lord of inheritance, and then the Sun is in the 8th house of inheritance. And then Mercury, the lord of Saturn, is in the house of inheritance. 8th house is the house of inheritance. So there is actually a strong possibility of it, but I don't think they're going to inherit the house due to the fact that Jupiter and Mercury are interchanged. So I think they'll inherit money. But not property, but money.
Would you also just read this like a chart and just go, well, who would it be? Would it be the Suns and the Eighth and Rahu? It would be their father? Like,
you bet. You could do all that too.
Okay.
You could look at that and say it's definitely more looking more like the father, isn't it?
Right.
Because Venus is also the Karka of the father. It's in the eighth house. The Sun is in the eighth. The mother...
Lord of the ninth, which is the father's in the sixth.
Yeah, it's also the fourth lord, but then, you know, the fourth lord, the moon is Vargatama, so mom's probably going to be okay, right?
Right.
So yeah, I would definitely say looking towards that direction is a strong possibility.
Okay.
Okay. Their father. The person who's asking the question. Okay? So, then there's a bunch of these other techniques for timing. I usually like to use, let's see what's applying. Use the applying aspects. Find out if it's days, months, or years. And that sometimes it just hits it right on the head. Sometimes you'll fall flat on your face, but that's all right. Prajna, guessing the time of Prajna, you know, like Bhivar Maman said, he said predicting the right timing in Prajna every time, you know, he says is really too much to expect. It's not an easy thing. But sometimes this technique, it's an easy technique, 4.5 months, and sometimes it's right on the nail. And other times it's not, but it's always worth saying, and something will always happen significant. It may not be the time, you know, the time, you know, of getting the house, but it's going to be it's definitely going to be an important time in the context of the question. So the next significant important event based on aspects is 4.5 months down the road. But let's look at the timing and see what kind of fun things we can come up with. And then we'll do some things to try to figure out who's going to actually pass away. Okay, here's a fun one. Deduct the longitude of the lagna from the longitude of the 10th house. Okay, the longitude of the 10th house, we have to find out what's called the midheaven cusp in this case. So it's not just 90 degrees from the lagna. It's what's called the midheaven cusp, which we can find by right-clicking on the screen and pulling up the special lagnas from the tables menu. And midheaven cusp is called the Madhya lagna in Sanskrit. And that's 2 degrees, 13 minutes of Taurus in this chart. So what this thing was asking us to do is to deduct the longitude of the lagna from the longitude of the 10th. Okay. I should have done these before I got here. Let's see. Deduct the longitude of the lagna from the longitude of the 10th house. Okay. Well, the longitude of the lagna is 156 degrees. We're going to round it off, okay? It's 156 degrees, right? Now, 156 degrees. Okay. Because, I'm sorry, it's 156. No, it's not. It's 126. I'm sorry. Leo starts at 120 and ends at 150. And the way you get that is Aries starts at 0, ends at 30, right? Oh, 126. It's 126, yeah. And then we have to subtract that from the 10th house. Well, the 10th house is... Okay, the 10th house is 33 degrees. But then it says if the longitude of the 10th is less, add 12 rashis or 360 degrees to it. So the 10th house cusp is going to be 33 degrees. I think it's closer to 32 degrees. Yeah, 32 degrees plus 360 equals 392 minus 126, which comes to 266, I think, right? 266. The remainder should be converted into degrees and trebled. So 266 times 3 equals 798 divided by 40 equals 19.95, 20. This would say 20 days is how long it's going to take if it's a movable Rashi.
20 days.
What?
20 days.
Yep. Yeah, we're getting a buzz. Okay, I think that's better.
Yeah.
So it gives us 20 days.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, somebody's phone's buzzing. I don't know if it might be mine, actually. Weird. Okay, so if the lagna is fixed, we have to double the days, and that gives us 40 days. So this is saying that in 40 days, no, this is a different technique.
To make you all crazy.
Different technique. And you can read the technique in the box. Okay. So this tells in 40 days, there's a possibility of them getting an idea of a residence. So maybe in 40 days, something will happen along those lines. Let's keep looking. The number of navamshas that have risen in the lagna indicate the time. So the navamsha lagna is the second navamsha lagna. The first navamsha is from 0 to 320 Leo. The second navamsha is from 320 to 640. The third navamsha is from 640 to 10 degrees. Those are things you guys should learn. Each navamsha is 3 degrees and 20 minutes long. So it's always a good thing to learn where the navamshas start and stop in each sign. So we're in the second navamsha. And the lord of that navamsha is Taurus, which is Venus. Okay? And Venus rules the paksha, which is 15 days, which is a lunar fortnight, and approximately 14 to 15 days. And so this is showing two pakshas, which is a month. So this is showing 30 days. So we'll just go through all these and see what we come up with, okay? Then it says, number three, the time is indicated by as many units as measured by the number of navamshas traversed by the lord of the navamsha lagna from the navamsha lagna. The unit being taken being the one appropriate to the planet owning the rising navamsha. So, we see how far Venus has gone from the navamsha lagna. It's gone 10 signs, right? Everyone see that? In the navamsha, the lagna is Venus, is Taurus, ruled by Venus. And Venus is in the 10th house from Taurus. So that gives us a unit of 10. And now, we have to take 10 what? Well, 10 of what Venus rules according to the previous sutra. Venus rules pakshas, which are 2-week periods. So 10 2-week periods is roughly 5 months, right? It's actually a little less than 5 calendar months.
Yeah.
So wow. It's right around that. It's right after that 4.5 months, right?
Wow.
So we're seeing a correlation with that. And remember, Venus was an important planet because it's the Navamsha Lagna Lord, which always is important into the level of fulfillment. So this lets us see that they can be fulfilled in respect to this in 10 2-week periods, which is 140 days, or just a little less than 5 full months. So let's keep seeing and see what kind of confluence we get. We've just looked through all these and see what things add up. Number four sounds like the same thing, just said in a different way. Number five, the time of fructification is to be known by multiplying the time periods allotted to the different planets by the number of navamshas gained by the planet in the Rashi. Okay. So this is sort of a roundabout one, meaning each planet, the one that you want to focus on, has its own timing. So, for instance, the moon is in the fifth navamsha of Aquarius, and the moon rules Muhurtas, so which is 48 minutes. Which means in 5 48-minute periods, in 5 muhurtas, which is roughly, I don't know, 6 hours or something, the moon would somehow give an influence to this chart. Okay, so in 6 hours, with the moon being in the seventh house, maybe this person will go talk to their spouse about the things that I talk to them. Could be something just that simple. So I usually don't use that technique that much, number five. It's just to give you a general idea of when each planet is going to give some effects in the context of the prajna. Saturn is in the ninth navamsha, and Saturn is rules a year. So in 9 years, something significant is going to happen in the context of their house.
9 years.
Well, what's going to happen? Well, Saturn's the sixth lord. It's the lord of debt. And the 11th house, the house of gain. So that would make me think in 9 years, they would pay their house off. Okay? Or maybe make a profit, an 11th house profit from the debt they incurred due to their house in 9 years. So you see, we can look at each planet and see what that planet's doing in the chart and time when that planet's going to give its result. And so we can read the whole chart. We can see where every planet. Well, they asked about children. Let's look at Jupiter. Jupiter's in the 7th navamsha of Virgo. Okay? And it's right in the 7th navamsha of Virgo, which starts from 20 degrees of Virgo to 2320 of Virgo. And Jupiter rules the Masa, the month, the lunar month of about 28 days. So this lets us see that in 9 months, something significant should happen in the context of their child. Okay? So we can go around about each planet and say, make one prediction for each planet, just like that. So you can see how you can turn prajna into a 2-hour affair. It's not just answering the question as well. Let's look at this too. We could also look at Mars. Mars is in the 6th navamsha of Capricorn, right? You see that? 6th navamsha of Capricorn, which is from 1640 of Capricorn to 20 degrees of Capricorn. And that Mars... I think there's a mistake here, okay? Yeah. Or else my brain is doing a trip. But a Muhurta is ruled by... there's a mistake. It's fine. Yeah, Mars rules a day. I just got confused when I was reading it here because it was formatted not really nice for me. Yeah, Mars rules days. So, what?
Uh-huh.
No, same thing. But each planet rules its own thing. So the sun rules half years. So for each navamsha of the sun, that equals half a year. The moon rules Muhurta, 48 minutes, which is, so for each navamsha of the moon, it's 48 minutes. Mars rules a day. So for each navamsha of Mars is a day. So in this person's chart, Mars is in the 6th navamsha of Capricorn, which means in 6 days, something will be important relevant to Mars. Okay? So we can make a prediction. Well, in 6 days, Mars is the 4th lord and Capricorn in the 6th house, you're going to maybe go look at some real estate. Because Mars is the 4th lord, right? Okay, as it turns out, this person plans on going to look at real estate in 5 days. Well, let's see, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll get delayed and they'll go in 6 days. Okay? So, there's a path they, but we would predict that in 6 days. Ritu is ruled by Mercury. That's a season, which in India, season is 2 months long, the Vedic season. So, Mercury is in the 4th navamsha, which means 8 months. So, in 8 months, something significant has to happen relevant to Mercury. But anyway, that's a way you can go around and make a prediction about each planet in the chart and really expand your reading. So prajna is a complete reading. And in ancient India, some astrologers only did prajna. They did everything from the prajna chart. All right, that was...
Well, Earth.
Yeah?
That actually brings up a really good question. Like, say... do all this, would you want to also back it up with their natal chart?
If you want to, but I usually say read the prajna chart, ignore the natal chart.
Really?
Well, the reason is, because what happens is you'll see contradictions.
Right.
And sometimes those contradictions will be there. Because the prajna chart not only shows the faded karmas, the faded events in life that are karmically faded from our past lives, they're also indicating the events that are faded due to our present life.
Okay.
So the things that aren't indicated in our birth chart that happen to us will be indicated still by prajna charts. Yeah.
That's why I'm asking this question. I've read prajna charts mostly just as charts.
Yeah.
And, like, if I see something in a prajna chart, but I don't see it in their main chart, I usually say no, you know, because if I don't see, like, love or a move.
Okay. No, that's a great question. Okay. The birth chart.
It's really brave to start saying yes.
Yeah.
I don't see it in the
birth, like, sure. The birth chart represents 75% of the events that happen in our life. So if an astrologer can read your birth chart perfectly, he'll be able to predict 75% of every single event that happens in your life. And then there'll be 25% of your event that he won't have talked about at all. And I'm talking every little event, from you watch an action movie on Thursday and a romance on Friday. You know, so I'm saying 75% of your life, big events, small events, are indicated by your birth chart. And 25% of your events are not. The only way to be able to predict those other 25% is with prajna.
Okay.
So prajna marga says the birth chart indicates the karmas due to our past actions, and the prajna chart can indicate the karmas due to both our past and present actions. And he says if the prajna chart and birth chart are indicating the same thing, the event is brought about because of our past karmas. If the prajna chart and birth chart are indicating different things, the event is brought about because of the karmas in this lifetime.
Okay.
And the other thing that happens is, a person may know 20 techniques to be able to predict, okay, you're going to have a relationship. And say there's 25 techniques. Which means 80% of the time, they'll predict when there's a relationship from the birth chart, right? And 20% of the time, they won't. Now, the prajna chart might just show that they're going to get married, but they can't see it in the birth chart. It may not be in the birth chart, but it just may be they're not seeing it in the birth chart. So I don't usually recommend a person works on the birth chart and the prajna chart simultaneously, because what happens is, with some technique, you'll see some stuff, and no astrologer knows every technique.
Right.
No astrologer knows what every planet is going to give in any chart. So you look at some chart, and it'll make sense. Another chart won't. And it's not because it's not there. It's because you can't see it.
Right.
And then you start pulling your hair out and crying because you want it to line up in both charts. And then your intuition goes to hell. And then you have to send them. Then you have to send the poor staff to another astrologer.
So, that's why I always say, you know, call my friend Ernst.
Exactly. And then Ernst is real grumpy. He doesn't answer his phone for 3 days. And by then, it's too late. And then he calls him back. So, the best thing to do is to focus on one chart.
Okay.
Because then your intuition will have something to focus on. If your mind has something to focus on, your intuition can flow. If your mind is split, then you're screwed. Okay? So just take one chart, and if you decide you're going to cast the prajna, do the prajna, invest in the prajna, commit to the prajna. And if you do it, great, and if you crash, great. You would have crashed if you'd used either chart that day. You were meant to fall, okay? That's based on a dasha for the prajna chart, uh-huh. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second, uh-huh. Let's skip number 6 and go to number 7 and see. It says, the results can happen when the moon transits the Rashi occupied by the lord of the concerned house. So that can help us narrow down the timing. So there's a good chance that when things happen, the moon is going to be in Capricorn for this couple, okay? Or for this person. That's just to narrow down the timing. The period signified by the law of the Lord, in this case, six-month periods, because it's the sun, and the sun rules 6 months, multiplied by the number of Rashis between the Lagna and the Rashi holding a malefic planet, indicates a period of sorrow. Well, Ketu is in the second, and then Mars is in the sixth. Let's see. Okay, so from the Lagna to that Rashi with Ketu is 1 month. Or one period. And so and the sun rules 6 month period. This lets us see in 6 months there's a possibility of sorrow. Okay, we got 4.5 months of a difficult time with Saturn, but this is showing a 6 month possibility. So it's not too bad. When the sun, the moon, or the effect giving planet transits the Lagna or the Rashi occupied by the effect giving planet, or its exaltation Rashi, the events can happen. So, the sun or the moon, or the effect-giving planet. Well, in this case, the effect-giving planet would be Mars, because it's aspecting the Lagna, so it's given the effect of giving them a residence, right? Fourth Lord aspecting the Lagna. Transits the Lagna. So we could see when Mars transits in the Leo, then that's a possibility. Or when the sun moves into Leo, which is going to be about 5 months, 5.5 months, the sun will move into Leo. So there's, again, something pointed to 5.5 to 6 months with that sun there. So it seems like 5.5 to 6 months, 5 to 6 months, things should happen for these people. The number 10 says the sun signifies Uttarayana and the moon Dakshinayana. Well, whichever of those planets is more prominent, it'll tend to let us see if the event happens in Uttarayana, which is when the sun is moving north. That's December 21st to June 21st, the sun moves north. Then from June 21st to December 21st, the sun moves south. That period is ruled by the moon. In this chart, with the moon being the dominant planet by being in an angle and in Vargottama, it's going to dominate the sun, who's in the eighth house, and in the neutral's house. And so that lets us see that things will probably happen when the sun moves south, which means after June 21st. So again, that doesn't let us see a lot of hope for things to happen in the next 2.5 months, which is still Uttarayana. Okay? So we get several timing things here to let us see that 4.5 to 6 months is going to be the crucial period during which they'll have some big changes in their lives that result in them having a different residence that they're going to be quite fulfilled with due to the strength of the Navamsha Lagna Lord. So now we've done a great job answering their question. Okay? And now we can go on to having some more fun in the last 15 minutes of the reading or the class. So if we pull up the Praja techniques, one of my favorite one is the general indications. It's on the top. The success or failure is for seeing the success or failure of what they're asking about. General indications has all kinds of prajna principles for simply how to read the chart. And it'll give principles for all these weird things that you've never heard of. Some things really simple. Like one of the simple techniques that's in there, there's tons of techniques in there, is that the house represents the state of affairs right now. So if we want to look at this person's wealth, we'd look at the second house. Jupiter's in the second house. Great, Jupiter in the second house is good for money. So right away we'd say, well, if Jupiter in the second house, financially things are pretty good right now. With Ketu there, we could say, well, things are good at this moment. Ketu always indicates some past drudgery a person has to get over. We would say, you know, things have been a little bit stressful, but all in all have been, right now they're good. If we want to see how money's going to be in the future, we look at the next house from the second house, which is Libra. So by reading Libra, we would tell them about how money is going to be in the future. Libra has no planets in it. It's aspected by the Vrigatama moon. So we could say in the future, money is going to continue to be pretty good for you. If we want to see how money was in the past, we look at Leo, the house behind the second house, and we say, in the past, you've really had to struggle and work hard financially due to Mars's aspect to Leo. And then we would have predicted about money. Let's say we want to predict about their children. We can say, well, right now, your children are ruled by Sagittarius, your fifth house. Sagittarius has no planets in it, are aspected by Ketu and Rahu, so things are a little bit stressful with your children, but with Jupiter aspecting, you're hopeful and optimistic of your children behaving better someday, and with Venus aspecting, you could say you're feeling a lot of love for your children, and you can see how their children are doing right now. We want to see how their children are going to do in the future. We look at Capricorn. We say, gosh, Mars is in Capricorn exalted. So in your future, your children are going to make a lot of growth. They're going to become really independent really fast. All of a sudden, your kids are just going to start shooting up into independent little martial brats and be really energetic. But they'll be productive because Mars is exalted there, and they're going to be using their abilities, but they're going to have independence, which is Mars's nature. If we want to see how they've been in the past, we look at Scorpio, the 12th house from the 5th house, and we say, well, in the past, you know, Scorpio there, that's been a little stressful because Scorpio is always a bit stressful. And Mars from Scorpio is aspecting Scorpio, and so they've been really strong-willed in the past as well. And with that exalted Mars influence and in the past, they've been really healthy and strong physically. And in the future, they'll also be really healthy and strong physically. So we can, just with that technique, we could read everything about this person's chart. So we could look at, how's your spouse been? Well, right now with the moon in your seventh house, your spouse is really mellow and really relaxed and really enjoying life, taking things, you know, smooth, especially since the moon is Vrigatama, he's feeling, or she's feeling, as the case may be, very happy. How's he been in the past, or she, as the case may be? We look at the 12th house from the 7th house, we see Mars is there, and we say, gosh, this person's been really productive, working very, very hard in the past. How are they going to be in the present, in the future, I'm sorry, we go to Pisces and say, well, with Venus there and Rahu there and Mercury there and the Sun there, they're going to be a little confused with Rahu there, a little unsure about some things in their life. With debilitated Mercury there along with that Rahu, they may have some small health problems, although with Venus there, they'll definitely have a good enough constitution to overcome them, but they're definitely going to a little bit of a harder time, and with the Sun in the first house, they're going to have a lot of demands placed upon them. So we can make predictions about everybody, everything, just from that technique, past, present, and future.
Wow.
So who needs a birth chart when you have Prajna?
Wow.
Like I said, some astrologers in India never cast a birth chart in their life. And they've made great predictions. Okay? But also in that general indication, you'll notice on the Prajna screen, on the right-hand side, there's something called Gulika, something called Trisputa, something called Trisputa Navamsha. Then there's Chatursputa, Panchasputa, Pranasputa, Dehasputa, Mrityusputa, Sukshmasputa. Well, what are those for? Those are there to help you find out if you're going to die from your Prajna chart. Or if somebody that person knows is going to die from the Prajna chart. So if there are certain planets, in certain of these sputas, it can indicate the death of someone. So let's go down to finding that part. I got a section in here on Trisputa. It's towards the bottom. It says, effects of Trisputa. If Trisputa is in Cancer, Scorpio, or Pisces, it's productive of intense trouble. Well, Trisputa is in Virgo. Good. So they're not going to have intense trouble. This is in the general indications, towards the middle. If Trisputa is in the last Navamsha of Scorpio, one will die in a month. Well, luckily it's not. Okay, so Trisputa is not in those bad things. Then it says planets occupying Trisputa Rashi, or the planets governing Trisputa Navamsha, bring about the following diseases and disorders. While Trisputa Rashi is Virgo, ruled by or occupied by Jupiter, causes weakness of the eyes. So we could just make a prediction from this. You may have some eye problems. Okay, there may be some eye problems coming your way.
Which is also Rahu with the sun in case.
Yeah, it's also supported there. And some people say that eye problems are caused by liver problems. There's a relationship, supposedly, and Jupiter rules the liver. So maybe there's something. So we'll have to watch these people. Are they going to get eye problems or weakness of eyes? Okay. Then there's the next section that I wanted to look at, because we see a possibility of death. And here it says, troubles to others depending upon Trisputa and Shukshma Trisputa. The planet that's in Trisputa will suffer. The person of that. So the person ruled by the planet, represented by the planet in Trisputa, can suffer. So we've got Jupiter and Ketu in Trisputa. Well, Jupiter rules your paternal grandfather. Okay? So there's a good possibility that one of the paternal grandfather, or it could be grandmother, Jupiter rules the paternal grandparents, could pass away. So we saw some indications of something, so maybe that's who it's going to be. It also, Jupiter rules children, because sure, it could be trouble to children too, right?
Does Jupiter rule stepfather?
No. Okay. Then it says, if Ketu occupies this Rashi, trouble will come to the man who placed the gold piece in the prajna. That's an interesting one, because we really don't have somebody placing the gold piece. But in old days, to find the Aruta Lagna, the person would put a piece of gold on a chart. And it would usually, they'd have a young boy do that, an innocent boy. He would just arbitrarily put the gold piece on a line without knowing why he was doing it. And so if Ketu is here, this would supposedly hurt that person. That person, who knows who that is in this prajna. But what's interesting, if Gulika is in Trisputa, the astrologer himself is going to have trouble. So from the prajna chart, you can actually see if you are going to have trouble. Isn't that cool? So I always look at that one. Check if you
yeah,
see
really.
If you see Gulika in the Trisputa, you want to worry. So this is showing trouble to Jupiter.
You cancel the appointment.
Yeah, right. So this looks like possible children trouble to Jupiter, which is children or paternal grandparents. Okay? So let's look at paternal grandparents a little bit more now that we got that hint. The father's father is ruled by the Lagna, right? Because, the father's father is ruled by the fifth house.
Right.
What am I thinking? The ninth house from the ninth house, which is Jupiter in this case, right?
Right.
So it could be the paternal grandfather, couldn't it? Okay, it could have something to do with the paternal grandfather. The paternal grandmother is ruled by the fourth from the ninth, which is the moon, which is in great shape. So it's probably, likely could be, one of the grandfather could have some problems. Okay. It does. I may not have any techniques in here to it. There's a few here and there. But not in this section, okay? Trisputa Navamsha is used more for timing when a person may die from the prajna chart. Okay, there's only one text that really teaches all these special prajna things, and that's Prajna Marga. That's the prajna book if you really want to become a prajna psychopath, or a prajna nut. And that's when you need to use all these techniques. I myself look at what's in Trisputa because I want to figure out who else may be suffering. I use the Hora and the Chandrakriyas. Chandrakriyas are also, and the Chandravelas, those things are all directed to be used in the Prajna Marga. Then also in this general indication section, there's techniques for seeing what the person saw on the way over. So the person's on their way to the appointment to see you. What did he see on his way there? Or what did he see, the hour before he asked you the question? And, you can predict those types of things. You saw a priest, you saw a woman, you saw this or that you noticed. And that, all things you can do to help breed confidence with the person. And Prajna Marga says, the astrologer should first make some predictions about what the person saw on his way over to the astrologer in order to convince the person of his ability. I mean, we're so lucky these days, right? People call us, oh yeah, my friend said you're great. Can I have a reading? It's like, oh yeah, no problem. And Prajna Marga is saying, well, make some predictions for the guy before he opens his mouth, tell him what he's there for, and then he'll believe it. And it almost seems like maybe we really should strive to do that. It's no harder to do that than it is to make the prediction anyway. It's not harder. It's just doing it all over again. But when I think of how many people get predictions and then run around for the next 6 months with their head, like a chicken with their head cut off, because they don't have confidence in the prediction. Right? That's the, and then they go to see more astrologers. And maybe if we really did take the trouble to every time a person came in, say, well, it looks like in the past your money was like this, maybe people would be less stressful. But it's all a matter of time, and it could take a good hour to figure out this guy's path. And, people are willing to just jump into it. And honestly, people most of the times, I can hardly think of a client who has a pressing matter who will sit down, shut up, and do nothing while I'm trying to figure out the chart. They'll ask a question, and while you're even trying to study that question, they start asking more questions. And you're like, this could take me a good hour to study this, and I haven't got done with your first question, and now I'm asking another one. Forget it. I'm not going to look at your past. The hell with your past. It's done with. But it almost would be better if we could take the time. It's really not practical in many ways, but it's sure fun to try to do it sometimes, because it's surprisingly, you'll get some good hits, and you'll breed a lot of confidence with yourself too. But the techniques here, you can just go through these techniques and play with them and see what happens, and don't be rigid with these techniques. So when the Chandravela says starting a journey, don't say, oh, you're definitely going on a trip. Okay? Because there's all kinds of journeys, right? A journey could be them exploring a new career possibility. In this case, a trip is very likely due to the moon being in the seventh house. Because one of the things the moon represents, or the seventh house represents, is long journeys. Okay? So, a trip is very likely. Anyway.
Kurt,
yeah.
Can I ask you, it's so interesting, I had a prasna just a couple days ago, and it's almost exactly the curve because the moon's in the sixth.
Okay, Leo Lagna?
Same everything.
Yeah.
So, when you said how to see the future, and you would look to, the chart I was doing was about this guy's wife.
Uh-huh.
So,
was she working really hard in the past to make money?
No.
No, was she struggling with money then?
She's been a homemaker and sits on her butt and reads all day.
Okay.
But he is really successful and very hardworking and travels a lot and blah, blah, blah. But what I was wondering is, the recent past with a wife is a lot of anger because Mars is exalted in the 12th from the 7th.
Yeah.
So he's wondering what's coming, and then, the eighth is so weird. And you were talking about the eighth, and I was taking notes, and I missed what you said. So what would you say would be the coming future with the Mercury, Venus, Rahu, and Sun? I mean, that's, really next.
It's not going to be great. Because even Venus is exalted there, sure, but it's still the eighth house.
Right.
And...
well, and with...
and also, it's from... and then we want to read Pisces from Pisces. So from Pisces, we got the sixth lord and the eighth lord and the seventh lord all there. So, you know what I mean? You've got the eighth lord and the sixth lord in the Lagna with Mercury.
Oh, gotcha.
You got it?
Right.
So sixth and eighth lord in the Lagna together is going to really torment a person. And then you stick Rahu in there to make it more fun and stick Mercury in there. I think that their spouse is going to go through, I mean, with Mercury there, there could be a lot of depressive type things, you know?
Okay.
So I think their spouse is really going to be really depressed in the future, really feel terrible. Okay. And then sixth house and the eighth lord is going to force a lot of changes, but they're not going to be well-received changes because Mercury there is debilitated. And debilitated Mercury, when things need to be done, you get so stressed out. That's the problem with debilitated... I think the spouse is probably going to fall. It's going to fall apart. Yeah. Because now we're going to read the spouse from Pisces.
Okay.
In the future.
So, wow.
So Pisces is the spouse in the future.
Okay, that's crazy.
And so with Rahu and Mercury there, they're just going to fall apart.
Okay.
Because you know Mercury is what you handle everything with, and a weak Mercury makes you get so stressed about everything.
Okay.
And then you throw Rahu there.
Right.
So I think, and then the sixth and eighth lords.
So
there's going to be a lot of stress and a lot of pressure on them because of the sixth lord and eighth lord. But then Mercury there is not going to give them the, you know, the really the ability to hang in there. And they're just going to fall apart, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think that anyway from his name chart.
Uh-huh.
I didn't tell him that, so.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I've even seen people with debilitated Mercuries get so stressed out, they literally just, what do they call it? They call it, I don't know, where they get so stressed out they just can't do anything anymore.
Like a meltdown?
A meltdown, yeah. They have a meltdown, a breakdown, uh-huh.
Okay.
So that's, it's not looking real good.
Okay. I know.
For the person. We're talking about the person's spouse.
Right, is that because of Venus?
No, because right now, this in the present, the spouse is indicated by Aquarius.
Okay.
In the future, the spouse is going to be indicated by Pisces.
Okay.
In the past, the spouse is indicated by
Capricorn.
Yeah.
And that totally works, because this one is really angry and hostile. That totally works. So that's wild. Now, how far in the future would you say? Is this like immediate future?
I would just lean towards the next 6 months is how I'd look at it. Yeah.
Well, and then what strikes me is what we were doing before, where the sun is applying to Saturn.
Yeah.
And now that's the Lagna Lord and the Seventh Lord applying in unfriendly
aspects. Exactly. And also Saturn's the Sixth Lord, which is marital disorder.
So this means, like, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, I think it'll probably get worse.
Okay.
Because if anything, with the moon there, you know, there's... probably some things, we know with the moon there should be some possibly helpful things, but it's still, it's in the sixth, yeah.
And it's Virgo as well, but it's in the eighth in the Nemesis.
Gotcha, yeah.
So it's not a happy moon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
But yeah, I mean, my mind was blown the whole class because I've been looking at the same chart all day for the coin line.
That's funny. Well, check out the Chandra Kriya, Chandra Vela, and Chandra Avashta. Of that chart?
Chandra Vela is anger, Chandra Kriya is clever and off exposition, and Chandra Vasha is having qualities benefiting one's family, and he really wants to, like, work on the marriage for the sake of his family.
But he can't go, but then Chandra Kriya is anger, so he's going about it, he may have a hard time going around in a productive way with that.
Right.
Because he'll just tend to blow before he needs to.
Right.
I would give him, impatience. Does he have like some Saturn Mars or Rahu Mars stuff? Does he get impatient?
Because
if he's angry, I would give him, impatience.
Okay.
You know? And what was his Vela? That's always the most interesting one.
One clever in exposition, which is especially his job. He makes presentations and things. He's really successful.
If one's clever in exposition and it's about the relationship, I would think he would come up with a way to tell her what really needs to be done.
Right.
You know, so he's going to put it to her. What? Yeah, so he's going to think of a way to tell her what she needs to do, basically. And that's what's going to determine the next step of the relationship.
Cool, thank you.
Okay, so all those sputas are used mostly for death. The Chatur sputa and all these other sputas, especially the Prana sputa and the Deha sputa and the Mitra sputa, are really used to time when a person may die from the prajna. So these astrologers in ancient India were expected to go to your house, read everything about your life from the prajna chart of when they got there, and then tell you the day you're going to die from the prajna chart.
Oh my God.
And they would do it with these sputas. The only sputa you'll really need to use is the tri-sputa to see the planet in the tri-sputa indicates a person who's possibly going to have problems in the future. And otherwise, the techniques are very complex, and you really would only want to get involved with those if your really goal was to master prajna. And then you need to buy a copy of Prajna Marga.
So the planet in the tri-sputa
knows
who's going to suffer?
Who's going to suffer illness, possibly death, and things like that.
Wow.
And remember, if it's Gulika in the tri-sputa, it's you, the astrologer, who's going to suffer.
Wow.
Okay?
So interesting.
So that will give you an idea of what we can do with prajna. And also in the prajna module, there's different categories that you can search for, like illness, lost articles. So if somebody loses something, what did they lose? Where is it? That works real well. That's one of my favorite things to do. Purchases and sales. Should they sell something? Marriage. All that stuff in the marriage class, all those paper and pages of prajna stuff is all programmed in the kala, so it'll all search it for you. So you could just scroll through those, just read them, see what you get from them. If you read something that you don't understand or don't make sense of, ignore it. Go on to the next thing. The things you want to pay attention to are the things that you read and you go, uh-huh, that hit a chord. And those are the ones you want to pay attention to. And as you read through those, you'll build the story up around the prajna chart and get some real strong indications. And always look for confluence. We saw a lot of confluence in this chart. Jupiter was the Horror Lord. The Lagna Lord was in the eighth, aspecting the fifth, which is the houses ruled by the Horror Lord. So fifth and eighth houses are going to be very, very, very prominent and very important in this chart. So, you know, put the picture together and see what you come up with. And yeah, everything you learned, every way that you read the birth chart, apply that to prajna. And everything you learn in prajna, you can also apply to the birth chart. Like the Chandra Kriya and Vela, those can be totally applied to the birth chart. And the Horror Lord, in the people who've got a bad Horror Lord in the birth chart, don't find themselves having great success in life. If you have to have a good Horror Lord to have good success in life. If your Navamsha Lagna and Navamsha Lagna Lord are in bad shape, you're just not going to have fulfillment in life. If they're in great shape, you're going to feel fulfilled. Those are all Muhurta and Prajna techniques that work just as well in the birth chart, because it's all the same thing. So read every chart as a Muhurta chart, a Prajna chart, and a birth chart. And then you're doing 100% astrology. So it's really a big thing. The other thing we can do, and I always like to do, is to check, and then we'll head out here because it's getting late, check the yoga, the Varatithi Nakshatra yoga for the moment. And you can get to that by right-clicking on the screen, and under the pop-ups, pull up the Kala Jataka. And under that, we can go down towards the bottom where it says VTN Yogas, which stands for Varatithi Nakshatra Yogas. If a person asks a question under one of those yogas that sounds good, it's going to go a long ways and indicating eventual fulfillment, even if not immediate, but eventual. So this person asked during the Siddha Varatithi Yoga, which means accomplished, and during the Shubha Varanakshatra Yoga, which means auspicious. So that means that's very positive for them being able to get what they want eventually, but not until they go through the period of change and difficulty in 4.5 months, and not now. And anytime you see the Lagna Lord in the eighth house in the Prajna, you can pretty safely say, the answer is not now, it's not this one, it's not this girl, it's not this job, you know, it's another one though. It could be another one, it could be a better one, but it's usually rarely the one they're asking for. It's usually there's going to be a change. Okay? Any questions? Uh-huh. And so you're going between Ardra Galactic Plane and what, Ayanamsha?
Well, I changed it just from the hearing to
okay.
And that makes the
addiction
very disappear, but
this is
my closing program.
It's just the program is just huh, that's funny. And you use this on a PC or a Mac?
And
you just
got...
Because the Prajna chart's the same as the birth chart, though.
But it's because it's like the same date as the day that I'm trying to save it.
No, really?
You know what I mean? There seems to be something about that.
I save these all the time.
I never can.
I just save this for my payment to my closing program. Because I want to save the options. Like, maybe my closing program will save it, but then it crashes. And then my older system.
That's weird. Are you using this? Anyway, hold on a second, you two. Anyone else have any questions relevant to this?
This rocks. We could do like some more classes on this that you could charge us for.
I mean, Prajna, you can just do forever. I mean, it's just huge.
So important.